Everybody and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott, and I'm here with Mark Pascal. Together we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, and reach us through www.restaurantguysradio.com, where you can listen to some older shows, and we're also broadcasting on iTunes for your iPod at home. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty smashingly well.
Excellent, excellent.
Feeling good.
You were telling me before we went on the air about a little story that I think you should share with our readers.
Because
it's germane to our one of our topics today.
Okay. Well, anyway, the other night, I guess it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And
There I was.
And there I was walking home, as I have wont to do at about 2 or 3 in the morning. Or walking to my car, I should say. And he's not a bum. Okay, he's just a drunken guy in the middle of the street in New Brunswick. Comes kind of staggering past me. And, you know, you're watching him out of the corner of your eye to just make sure that he's just being a drunken bum. And he walks up and he catches, I guess, me glancing at him. And he goes, don't you worry. You're fine. You're fine. I'm not going to hurt you. Now, this guy's about 140 pounds. He's about 50 years old.
How tall?
And he's about 5'6".
Just so everybody in the audience knows, Mark is 6'1", 310 pounds, and could destroy you.
And I turned
don't
to him.
Don't worry. I'm not going to hurt you.
You're fine. And I turned to him. I go, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. That's very good. It's like, you'd be surprised. Very good stuff. Very, very good stuff.
Oh, that's great. I love the restaurant business. You know why? Because you're out late at night with all kinds of crazy people on a weekend.
I'm thinking, yeah, I'd be really, really surprised. That would be.
If you got a gun, maybe I'm surprised. Well, you know, that actually brings us to a story that was in the Star Ledger a few days back. There's a suit, evidently, in Boston that's going on. Evidently, there was a man arrested when a police showed up to break up a New Year's Eve party. This gentleman was at his friend's house, and they were accused of someone in the building was accused of throwing bottles at a passing police cruiser. And so the police showed up, and they couldn't find who had done it. And
which, by the way, is against the law.
To throw bottles at passing police cruisers.
Absolutely.
Totally against it. But the police showed up, quite justifiably, looking to investigate, and they walked into this party that, by all accounts other than the bottles, which may or may not have come from the party, was not particularly out of hand. But one of the partygoers, when the partygoers denied throwing bottles, the officers became angry, and one of the partygoers felt that the officers were behaving inappropriately. And so he picked up a friend's camera and started videotaping, which, of course, it's legal to videotape the police and the public exercise of their duties if you think they're acting inappropriately.
Are you sure it's legal to use a video camera in your house?
I think, especially if they're in your house,
are
right?
Are you sure?
So what they did was the officers grabbed him, ripped the camera from his hands, and threw him to the floor. And then they arrested him. They took him into protective custody because he was drunk. Didn't do anything wrong, not accused of any crime.
Over 21.
Not charged with any crime, in a private house where he was planning on spending the night. And the police say, lying bastards, that the reason they arrested
him... Not all police, just these particular
police. Oh, no, of course. I come from a long line of Irish cops and firemen. Thank God for the police and our brave men in blue. But in this case, they arrested him and held him for 12 hours overnight because they said he was drunk. Now, according to everyone else who was at the party, he had a few beers and he was... Mm-hmm. Over the limit to drive a car.
Right, over 0.01.
But he was in a private home, and the city is defending itself in this lawsuit. So what they're saying, what they're trying to say is that if the police come to your house for looking for somebody else and you've had six beers,
right,
they can take you out of your house and keep you, and lock you in jail for 12 hours.
Now, well, for up to 24 hours.
Well, obviously what happened here was they didn't arrest him for that reason.
Right, they were mad.
They were mad because he tried to videotape them, which is, of course, his right to do. And I think that's just...
And I'm not all about frivolous lawsuits. But if you come into my house and arrest me
for being in my house and not driving anywhere
and not hurting anybody and not doing anything wrong,
I mean,
I'm going to be mad and I'm probably going to sue you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really.
And hopefully, I win.
I mean, you know,
there's got to be some sanctity in your own home. You got to have some freedom in your own home.
Well, and
we're taking freedoms away from people every day. We need to have some freedoms in our house. And I want to be able to drink four bottles of wine in my house if I want to.
I'm with you 100%. I'm with you. Well, and, you know, of course, if I'm drunk and not taking care of my kids, right, or if I'm hurting somebody, or being loud or bothering the neighbors.
The law is there to, if you're a danger to yourself or someone else.
Well, what happened?
But just being drunk does not make you dangerous to someone else.
They changed the law in Boston. Or
like, for instance, that 150-pound guy was not a danger to me.
Well, what they do, though, is they if you are so drunk that you're nonsensical, or you think you might, you know, they think you can't, you're not in control of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they can put you in protective custody. They don't have a problem with that. But this guy had had 5-6 beers.
Right.
And they were mad at him for another reason.
They were mad at him for videotaping.
And they looked for a reason. And we can't give the police that many rights that they can just make it up. You know, if everything is against the law, what that means is that the police just can arrest you whenever they want. You know. Anyway, so there, we're done. Are we done with that?
Can we be done?
All right, we're done.
That's enough. It was funny.
What are we talking about?
I'm going to be done. You know something, Francis?
What?
Right before you went on vacation to Ireland,
yeah,
we did a little blurb on shark finning.
Yes.
Okay, that's that's the practice of taking the fin off a shark because it's the most valuable
and it makes shark
part of
soup.
The shark to make shark fin soup, and they do it in Japan quite often. And Disney Hong Kong was having shark fin soup, and a lot of people were complaining that it was inhumane. Because what they do is they take the fin off the shark, and then they throw the whole shark back in the water to die. Instead of using that the whole animal, they want to get as many fins as they can on the boat. So they throw the rest of the shark.
And it's putting tremendous pressure on the shark population. So anyway, so what about it?
So in that show, we said, oh, what's the next thing they're going to be doing? They're going to be serving whale burgers in Japan? Well, guess what they're doing?
No.
Yes, sir.
No.
Whale burgers in Japan.
That's illegal.
It is illegal to fish whale for whale meat. How the Japanese are getting around it is they're saying they're taking the whales to do scientific studies on them, and then they're using the whale meat so the whale meat doesn't go to waste.
Oh, yeah.
But they're taking so many whale that nobody in the world believes them that they could be taking that many whale
to study.
So they're selling. So now they're selling the whale burgers. We called it.
Oh man,
we called it.
What is world coming to?
But the good news is,
yeah,
due to pressure, Disney Hong Kong is no longer selling shark fin soup.
Wow, that's great. You know what it was? I think it was this show.
Well, I'm sure that the pressure from you people in Central Jersey got them to take shark fin soup off the menu. Way to be.
I think we'd like to take credit ourselves.
I think we should take full credit.
Excellent. Well, what we're going to talk about later on the show is we went to the fancy food show on Monday, Mark and I.
We're going to start calling it the fancy schmancy food show for the rest of the show.
At the fancy schmancy food show, we met a few really good purveyors and a lot of really terrible purveyors who had really awful products.
We got a lot of good stories for you
but
from
it's
that,
funny.
For sure.
But it's funny. Actually, some of the food is so bad, it's funny. So what we're going to talk about later on in the show is some things that you might want to avoid. And you know what else we're going to talk about that hopefully is more interesting is what's wrong with them. Is when a company spends too much time on brand and not enough time on food, what exactly goes wrong? You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we're talking about the Fancy Food Show, which is going on all weekend and actually finished up yesterday at the Javits Center in New York City. We have now dubbed it the Fancy Schmancy Food Show.
Fancy Schmancy Food Show. I have to say we've gone in years past and found some interesting things there. I have to say I wasn't real happy with what was there. There was a lot of schlock there, man.
I was really disappointed. First of all, it's huge, obviously, as anybody who's ever been to the Javits Center knows. It's just a huge, huge building, two floors of just booths and booths and booths and booths of people.
Well, and like the different governments of different countries will put together a trade consortium, mm-hmm, from that country, or big companies themselves will have, or people who have nifty ideas for, and it wound up being mostly novelty foods. The real foods that were there were some, there was some prosciutto di Parma.
It's a good way to say it, mostly novelty foods, because
yeah,
that's what it was.
But there was some real stuff. There was Neiman Ranch, mm-hmm, was there, which makes
absolutely
some great
D'Artagnan
stuff.
Was there.
Which makes duck products and foie gras, mm-hmm, and things like that. And the owners were actually there, and they had a great... Except that the D'Artagnan people, they're named after D'Artagnan, the musketeer,
mm-hmm,
and they made their employees wear, like, musketeer outfits with a big
feather
in their
hat.
Well,
that's their shtick. They do that all the time, everywhere they go.
You have to pay me a lot.
Do you know why I'm not a D'Artagnan employee?
But,
I don't look good in a plume.
But I'm sure he'd look terrible in a boa as well. Big boa. Anyway, just had a horrible vision.
Where did that come from?
I just had a horrible vision in my head, and I wanted to share it with
everyone.
You're
fired. Get out.
Okay, the thing about the fancy food show that's interesting is we go to wine tastings all the time. And when you go to a wine tasting, you develop over years of time. You have sort of a natural talent for how much you do or can or cannot taste before mm-hmm. you suffer what's called palate fatigue.
Right.
And your average person out there, at about 12 wines, if you taste wines one after another, you spit so you don't get drunk. At about 12 wines, you begin to suffer palate fatigue. We teach wine courses all the time mm-hmm. where over the course of time, we try and raise our students from starting to suffer palate fatigue at 12 wines to maybe getting up to 20 wines.
Or even 25 sometimes.
And, you know, I can taste about 220 wines in an afternoon before I start to suffer palate fatigue, but this mm-hmm. is my job.
Right, Mark, and I do about 160, 170. I know that's my number. I can do a little bit more if I finish with ports or sherries or something like that.
That are so strong.
Yeah, some things that are where the focus on the power.
But what happens is then that everything starts to taste the same mm-hmm. at a certain point. But and with beer tastings, you need to be a little more careful. You can't taste as many beers in a day because you don't spit when you taste beer. You need to swallow it to get the full effect.
Oh, I can taste a lot of beers in a day.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
just not
guy.
Professionally.
Exactly. But what was interesting about going to the fancy food show is this is mostly food. And the problem is, while when you taste wine, it's interesting to go, and it's best if you're going to be tasting wine, to go from like light whites to heavier whites to lighter reds to heavier
reds.
Right,
organize ourselves at a wine tasting. Usually it's in one room, and you'll organize yourself. I like to taste all the whites and then go back around the room and taste all the reds.
And then go back around and taste all the sweet wines.
And then taste the sweet wines or the ports after.
Well, here's the problem with the fancy food show. You're walking down the aisles, and you go from Spain to France to Italy to Oregon.
Right, it's organized by country, and it's miles of aisles.
And, nice. You're a poet, and you don't know it.
I'm a Toys R Us commercial.
But what the problem is, when you go and you taste the herring,
mm-hmm.
and then you taste the chocolate cake,
right?
And then you taste the salmon.
The prosciutto, and then the creme brulee.
And then the
Ice
pudding,
cream.
And then
the cotton candy.
Then back to fish.
And then some chocolate-covered espresso beans.
I never feel so terrible as when I leave show.
I got to tell you, we were supposed to go out to eat afterwards. I was like, no way. No chance.
I got to go home.
My belly hurts.
Yeah, but your body is not. Just in case you're wondering out there, there's a reason that we do things in order when we have our dinner. You don't have chocolate cake and then go to fish and then back to
And it's, it wasn't from quantity because you're just taking tiny little bites of all these things to taste them. It was from, the order in
the
which
progression.
We did things.
Right. It's horrible. But I have to say it was really disappointing. And I think there were some good points that were made. Mm-hmm. Everybody out there has a shtick. And there was a lot of energy and effort put onto branding.
Tons of marketing.
Branding.
Tons of marketing.
Like they conceived of an idea that would sell, but it had precious little to do with making good food.
But did you notice places like the Jersey Fresh booth had nobody at them?
Right.
Okay, had nobody at them.
Well, but they weren't giving out samples.
Right.
I mean, the thing
is... a lot of people were there to eat.
And if Jersey Fresh was there and they were giving out local cherries, which are now in season,
mm-hmm.
and from a certain farm, but the problem is, I think where most of the people who are buying these specialty foods are buying them for is they're for the Chooch gift store. And I think that at a certain point in time, the gift shop had a...
I'm sorry, the what gift store?
Chooch, like cute little gift store, But
you are so not Italian.
I know, I'm not at all. But I don't even know what the origin of that word. My sister uses it. But anyway, but the idea is that those stores would often specialize, I think, and the something from the rainforest or something from an exotic place that was actually a good food from another place. And I think that maybe Whole Foods and Wegmans are sort of displacing that market because they're being serious about it, mm-hmm. about doing those foods. And you know what? When it comes right down to it, the best food is pretty simple.
Right.
Very often the best, especially the best food that you can buy packaged, has to be simple.
Right. What I found was it was mostly about packaging. It was mostly about what bottle it was in. They're selling 7-month-old cotton candy in these beautiful plastic jars.
Nice jar.
Okay, cotton candy is sugar and air.
Right.
Okay, we're done.
Not if it lasts 7 months.
I'm sorry,
months.
You're right. But it's sugar and air that hasn't gone stale yet.
What have we come to when we're talking about the cotton candy? Yeah. Why don't we go back to the good old-fashioned cotton candy? Really crazy. Well, we're going to give some examples later in the show about some things that are just awful and shouldn't be. My favorite example was a guy had what's called a shelf-stable creme brulee. And what it was you bought the creme brulee. If you've ever had creme brulee, it's sort of a vanilla custard that you then put sugar on the top and then you torch it with a blowtorch.
Okay, the main ingredient in creme brulee, the two main ingredients are eggs and cream.
Actually, and that's pretty much most of it. A little vanilla and spices.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you do is you make this perfect custard and you put sugar on the top and then you caramelize it with a blowtorch and make a nice crisp layer of candy. It's very unstable. 15 minutes, it goes away. Well, this guy came up with the shelf-stable version. Why do we need a shelf-stable version of creme brulee? Why didn't you buy it off the shelf? And it was terrible.
Okay.
It was terrible. Room temperature, shelf-stable. It was the Velveeta.
Stable is where this creme brulee belonged.
Yeah, exactly.
It was awful.
But I think that what's interesting is the move is to make something that can last a long time and you can put in your cabinet and that will always be something that's not real and is going the wrong way.
You know, that's been going on for a while, but it's now I see the beautiful package is added to that.
Oh, we'll talk more about that in just a moment. We'll also have Bill Walker from Jersey Fresh to tell us what's coming out for real from Jersey Farms in just a moment.
Real food, yippee!
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
You're back with The Restaurant Guys, and we'll be hearing the second half of the show from Bill Walker from Jersey Fresh, and he's going to tell us what's coming up on local farms in the real food arena and what you should look for in your supermarkets. Now, when you see that Jersey Fresh logo in your supermarket, that means that the product's comes from New Jersey and that it was and because it comes from New Jersey and doesn't travel far, that it was picked vine ripe
likelihood. Not every Jersey Fresh product is perfect yet,
right? And not perfect, but
that program's getting better and better though.
And we live in a seasonal place, you should take advantage of things when we have it. I think we have Bill Walker on the line. Do we have Bill Walker on the line?
Yes.
Bill.
How are you, gentlemen?
Hey, man. Sir.
What's going on in the on the
Jersey? Tell us what's Jersey and fresh.
Well, pretty much almost everything that we're going to have in season is at least starting to be in season right now. Things are really jamming, particularly it's blueberry season, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Right. Blueberries have been spectacular this year so far.
Now, New Jersey is one of the largest producers in the country of blueberries, is that
right? Yes, we are second in the country right after Michigan.
Right.
Very close to them, and of course, this is the birthplace of sort of the origin of the blueberry down in the White's Bog area, and Elizabeth White, and a lot of work that was done many, many years ago. So we were the first to actually cultivate this.
We actually sell more fresh blueberries than even Michigan.
No question about it. And most of their product goes into processed and pies and such.
And Hamilton, New Jersey, is the town in the world that produces more blueberries than any other town in the world.
You're right. Atlantic Blueberry is the largest blueberry farm in the world in Hamilton.
Rock on. Okay, so what else should we look for when we go out in the market when we want to buy fresh produce, Bill?
Well, when you're looking at fresh produce, obviously the first thing is you want to talk to the farmer, find out what his recommendations are, because he knows what looks best, what's growing best, what's in the best shape. Your greens are pretty much finished up at this time of the year. You can start to look for things, particularly undervalued things like squashes or zucchinis and yellow squash and whatnot. Farmers are actually discing that to the ground. It's just so plentiful and the price is so terrible. So I'd certainly fill up on a lot of your squashes. Peppers are starting to come in. Tomatoes you should start to see in Central Jersey this week. It's just everything's happening.
How about sexy fruit, man?
Sexy fruit? Well, other than watermelons, I've had some good cantaloupes.
And cherries?
Mostly find them in farm markets. You won't see them in the supermarket.
And cherries?
Cherries are something that obviously should be around right around now. I don't follow them as much because they're not commercially available. That's something I need to do a better job of.
Mm-hmm. And we should expect white peaches fairly soon.
White peaches actually are later. Yellow peaches started this week, actually right around now, the century variety. White peaches won't be at best at the end of the month, probably first week in August.
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for calling us and keeping us all informed of what's coming up from our local Jersey farm.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
We'll talk to you next week,
Thank
Bill.
You now. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, take care. That's Bill Walker from Jersey Fresh, Department of Agriculture. You see him every week, and we'll talk about what's coming up through the season in Jersey so you can eat locally and think globally. I just made that up. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central
you
Jersey.
You did not.
I did. Central Jersey, 1450 time is 1130.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everyone. everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, and we are here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. Listen to us every day from 11 to noon, or you can reach us through restaurantguysradio.com. You can also reach us from a new place, Francis.
We are now podcasting. You can, of course, download some of our older shows from the web, but you can also go to iTunes, and if you have an iPod, you can just automatically get our show sent to you. We'll put up at least a few a week, so check that on out. So today, we were talking earlier about the fact that we had attended on Monday the Fancy Food Show in New York, the International Fancy Food Show, which we have redubbed the Fancy Schmancy Food Show. And part of the reason we did that is because the difference between fancy and fancy schmancy is, well, fancy schmancy.
The bottle.
It's
all in the bottle.
It's a whole lot of glitter.
I went to this one guy, Francis. I think you were looking at some actual real food product at the time. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy named Chef Pascal. And Chef Pascal, well, for those of you who don't know, Pascal's my last name. So, of course, I had to go up and check out Chef Pascal's sauces.
Oui, oui.
If it were not impolite, I would have spit the food out in his garbage can.
Why? What was wrong with it?
It just was disgusting, processed food, and he served it on rubber chicken. And I thought, okay, you're gonna serve me rubber chicken with your terrible sauce on it, and that's how you're gonna showcase your product?
But what was his shtick? What was his marketing? Why did other people buy it? Because one of the things that struck me,
because there's a picture of a guy with a toque on the bottle. You know, in a fancy schmancy bottle with the coconut ginger sauce that Chef Pascal tells you is good.
Yeah, Chef Pascal was an auto mechanic until last Thursday, and then he bought the toque.
But I was all excited. I was like, hey, Chef Pascal.
Right. I have to say, since
How cool is that?
Since it was your last name, if it was anyways edible, you'd have bought it, I'm sure.
That's correct.
You know, though, what really scares me is that we walked through and around in this this show full of supposedly professionals. I mean, it was people who paid to go to this show, and so they're
people
all buying.
People paid a lot of money to go to
this
show.
I'm not talking about the distributors. I'm talking about the exhibitors. I'm talking about the attendees.
Oh, okay.
Who were buyers for stores, must be. And they'd be looking, look at this. And I'm thinking, are you kidding? That's disgusting.
Awful.
I have to say, I did. You know how snooty I can be, but I try to keep it to myself when we're not on the radio.
You do?
I must have missed that. And usually it's in the privacy of our office that I rant. But this one guy really pissed me off. This one guy was with a company called Cream Delight, the smart indulgence.
You know, you can tell that he's mad.
Why?
Because you're given the name of the company.
Oh, yeah, Cream Delight. You know why? Because Cream Delight sells ice cream-like things. And you'll see that on the package it doesn't say ice cream. It says Cream Delight. You can have vanilla Cream Delight, but actually on their website it says vanilla, but if you look at the package it says vanilla flavored Cream Delight, or you can have chocolatey chip cookie dough.
Okay. No way.
I swear to God.
Chocolatey chip cookie dough.
Do you know why they have to call it chocolatey chip cookie dough? Because it would be illegal for them to call it chocolate chip cookie dough.
Okay, just so everybody knows, true chocolate, if you're having pure chocolate, it has no sugar. You add the amount of sugar that you want to it. You add the amount of milk that you want to it. So pure chocolate is not bad for you at all. Right. It's actually very good for you. Well, so if you want to put chocolate as an ingredient, you can do that with only health benefits, no health negatives.
Right. Anyway, so I went over to the guy, and I looked at this sort of slop he was proffering in a fancy, fancy package.
You said slop he was proffering.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. It's called Smart Indulgence. Reduced fat, no sugar added, ice cream. Ice cream, that's a bit of a stretch. Because sometimes he says ice cream, and sometimes it says pure ice cream taste. Sometimes it says vanilla cream. So is it ice cream? Is it not ice cream? It's Franken cream, right?
So how did you get in an argument with this guy? Because I watched you get in a fight with this guy.
I said, you know what, let's try it. Let's see what's out there. And so I said, now, I picked up the vanilla, and I said, oh, no, what's this? And he said, oh, it's vanilla ice cream. I said, oh. And as I put it in my mouth, I said, well, actually, it says vanilla. Why does it say vanilla-flavored ice cream? He said, oh, well, that's because it uses vanilla extract. I said, now, vanilla extract
is vanilla.
That's a natural flavor. That's not true.
You can say vanilla.
And he said,
if it has vanilla extract, you can say vanilla. You don't have to say vanilla flavor.
And that's when he said, oh, it's vanillin. Now, when you look at the ingredients on packages, vanillin is an artificial flavor.
It's what you get when you buy imitation vanilla extract on your shelf.
Right.
If you buy one of those imitation vanilla extracts as opposed to regular vanilla extract.
One-twentieth the cost of real vanilla.
Right.
And vanilla is one of the most prominent flavors in the world. It's one of those flavors we never get tired of. We had a flavor PhD talking about this.
Almost everybody in the world likes the flavor of vanilla.
And you never get tired of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very important flavor base to a lot of other flavors. Anyway, so he said, oh, it's vanillin. And I thought, you know what? Don't get that wrong. Okay, you're here selling a thing that is supposed... And you know what? Vanilla doesn't add any calories, and vanilla doesn't add any cholesterol. Vanilla is just you're being cheap. Okay.
Right.
I said, I don't go for vanilla flavored things. And he said, oh, well, most people prefer vanillin to vanilla. And I thought, you know, have you no shame, Senator?
I believe that's where you said, liar, liar, pants on fire.
I didn't.
I believe that's what you said to him.
But I said, no, you know, I don't go for that. And it's just, you know, it's like, what about making the food taste good? Because there is an example of they could have used real vanilla, okay? Vanilla doesn't add fat. It doesn't add calories. What it is they're foisting on the American public in pretty packaging garbage food.
Right.
And that's what this is. It's garbage
food. Right. And here's my problem with that, okay? You want to cut the price and say, listen, we're selling this to you at 30% of what we could sell it to you if we put real ingredients in it. And say, you know, that's what you get when it's 30% the cost. But that's not what they were doing. They're trying to sell you a premium product with cheaper ingredients. And I think that's when the biggest problem we had at this food show were the amount of people who were trying to pretend their product was premium and sell it for higher price with worse ingredients.
And I guess what happened with this guy was he actually stated what they're trying to do subliminally.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to fool me.
Right.
First, he tried to fool me that it was real
flavored. Well, he lied. Okay, right. He just out and out lied.
First he lied, and then he tried to took a subjective opinion whether vanilla or vanillin is good, and he said, well, vanillin's better. It's not. It's
right.
Just not.
It's
okay.
Worse.
Next topic.
Let's talk about some of these other guys.
We then went on to the ridiculous idea of wine nuts.
Oh, funny.
And wine nuts.
Very amusing.
We have now these are 11-ounce cans of, like, peanuts.
Of peanuts. Right? They're all peanuts.
And there's the margarita. There's the Merlot. There's the Chardonnay. These are all different peanuts, and I said, well, what's the difference between the Chardonnay peanuts and the Merlot peanuts? Is it just that there's wine in the, there's Chardonnay in one? Dumb. I mean, the flavor differences, why would you cook wine? I don't know. So I asked them, and what they told me was that these nuts are each specifically designed and treated with wine in them, but also the Chardonnay nuts bring out the subtle nuances of Chardonnay, and the Merlot nuts bring out they're perfectly balanced for Merlot.
Liar.
That is just the biggest hunk of idiocy I've ever heard, okay? Have a peanut. There's no... And, you know, we tasted them, and they were a little different, but... I'm a wine expert, okay? That's what I do for a living.
Oh.
The Chardonnay nuts are no better with Chardonnay than the Merlot nuts are, and it's just a bunch of nonsense, but it's marketing.
It's marketing.
You know what the suggested retail on these is?
Go ahead.
$8.99 to $10.99 for 11 ounces of peanuts.
For pretty much what you'd pay, $2.99 for the Planters peanuts jar.
$2.99 for 11 ounces of Planters peanuts?
$1.99.
Yeah,
it just...
Because it has a picture of wine on it.
A picture of wine, and trying to get you, who may not know a lot about wine, to buy that as a gift for your friend who's really into wine.
And you know what? I care so much about food, and we care so much about spreading things that are real and true and trying to spread good information, that when people like this take advantage of people and spread bad information, I can only imagine all the people who bought the Chardonnay nuts and the Merlot nuts sitting at home tasting them side by side with the Chardonnay and the Merlot. And you know what? I feel bad for those people, and these people should be ashamed of themselves. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we're talking about the fancy food show at the Javits Center, which went on this weekend, and some of the things we disliked about it, though there were a few things that we did like about it.
Yeah, we have to say, there were, you know, like we said before, D'Artagnan was there, great, mm-hmm. duck.
A couple of good producers. I found there were some interesting olive oils, a lot of people doing olive oils, yeah. A lot of people doing
nut oils of different
homemade
sorts,
salamis,
balsamic vinegars.
Some buffalo mozzarella. There were some interesting things.
But
at the
overall,
show.
It was a triumph of marketing over substance. Mm-hmm. It was just, and we just talked about wine nuts, which are supposedly specially designed to go with particular wines. And, you know, I hate it. You know, I care about wine, and there's a lot to learn about wine, and you need to establish a frame of reference about wine. And so there are things to really learn. And so when people go out there and they put out nonsense like that, mm-hmm. it just serves to confuse the issue.
Right.
Actually,
it's very frustrating.
We have a caller on the line we're going to talk to right now. We have Connie. Connie, are you with us? Connie?
Yeah.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Connie. Welcome to the show.
I'm asking about foie gras.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's not a wine question.
That's okay.
Wine
foie gras,
food, we do it all.
We're here.
If you eat
okay.
it, we talk about it.
Everybody's talking about foie gras today.
Yeah.
And D'Artagnan Farms is famous for its foie gras. But everybody says that it's from ducks. Now, my experience years ago was that it was from geese.
Right.
Actually,
originally... foie gras from France was made from geese.
And still, right. in France, the legal definition of foie gras has to be from a goose. If you have the fattened liver of a duck in France, it's called foie de canard.
Exactly.
But in the United States, we don't make enough, because we don't really eat goose except a few people around Christmas time.
Right.
So there's not really enough market for the rest of the goose. And so we only in the United States, there's no actual goose foie gras made. It's all of the foie gras in the United States is really foie de canard. But the legal definition of the name foie gras in the United States can be either duck or goose.
Or goose.
Right. Whereas in France, right. it's foie de canard and foie gras.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Glad we're able to answer that question.
Just so everybody knows, the reason that foie gras is in the news today, and Ariane Degan, who's been a guest on the show,
Who owns D'Artagnan?
Right. There's a piece in the Times about her kind of mocking the new California law that fattened duck liver can't be sold in California anymore.
Too good to be legal is her new tagline.
Too good to be legal is her new
appropriate anywhere line. But California.
So we got to see that whole product line yesterday and talk to Ariana a little bit yesterday. She's really mad at California.
Real? She's really mad at Arnold Schwarzenegger in particular. But foie gras is real food, and we had a real question about real food. Let's go back to the nonsense food. It's more fun to talk about. In addition to the wine nuts.
Let me add. The one that got me was the shock coffee.
Yeah.
Okay. We're walking down this aisle, and Francis and I, at this point, honestly, are starting to get a little fed up with the schlock.
Yeah.
Okay. And we walk to the end of this one aisle, and there's a big Hummer in the middle of the room.
Flashing lights.
Painted, flashing.
Music.
So ask the person, why is the Hummer there? Can you win the Hummer? No, we just like to drive it around.
And the Hummer is painted with shock coffee is the name of the coffee, and it's painted with shock, 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 and their logo is sleep is overrated.
Shock coffee has 1.5 times the caffeine of regular coffee.
It's marketed as hyper-caffeinated coffee.
It should be schlock coffee, for sure.
Schlock should be what
schlock
it is.
Schlock coffee. Okay, the coffee wasn't any good.
Coffee's terrible.
They had some double mocha
latte
thing.
Tasted like a Yoo-Hoo.
Yoo-Hoo's much better.
Tasted like a Yoo-Hoo.
Yoo-Hoo, which doesn't have a real ingredient in its package,
right.
is much better than schlock double latte.
And so we went up to the counter where we're pouring the shock. Shock is the name of the actual brand, if you want to try it. It's like, you know what it is? It's in that whole, like, be a man. I can have more. I need more caffeine.
Right.
Hell with the caffeinated. And you know what? I like espresso, double mm-hmm. espresso. I like strong coffee mm-hmm. because of how it tastes. I don't use it as a drug. Well, sometimes I do.
Well, we all occasionally need a little caffeine in the morning. No, I'm sorry, we all don't. But it's like taking
pill.
A caffeine pill. That's exactly what it was.
Because but coffee is a serious thing. It should taste
right.
good and
it's supposed
smell
to be
good.
Enjoyed. You're drinking your coffee to enjoy that beverage, and you know you may be addicted to the caffeine a little bit, and you may enjoy that little jolt, but. Make
jolt is
coffee.
Something totally different.
I'm sorry.
So I went up to the lady. I love this. We went up to the lady and we said,
oh, yeah.
"So what's with this coffee?" Well, you know, I said, "So what is this?" She's like, "It's regular coffee, but it's got like more caffeine, like 1.5 times the caffeine." I said, "So why is that a good thing? Why would I drink it? And she said, because when you drink it, you go zoom. I don't want to go zoom. I just want a good cup of coffee. Can I please just have a good cup of coffee?
Yeah, somebody took half the taste out and put half the caffeine in.
You know, you're just missing the point. And I'm one of those throw caution to the wind. Like, you know what? I'm going to have my coffee. I can have coffee at 10 o'clock at night. I don't care how much caffeine it has in it. But I'm not, like, looking for more caffeine. You know, I'm looking to live life, and if I have a little more caffeine as a result of it, I'll deal with it.
I'll tell you, Francis and I went there looking for a state-bottled, small production thing, something that might not have been in the marketplace before, and we really didn't find any of that, of quality products that we would use. But one of the things, Francis, that I realized as we're going through this, and I did a little research on this, for instance, to get into the Canadian section, it was $5,500 for a booth,
mm-hmm.
which is, if you're a small farmer
yep.
trying to bring his salami to market, you just can't pay $5,500 to be at the Javits Center
yep.
and not be at your farm for 5 days.
Right.
So, I think maybe that the show is evolved into something different than what it was when it first came.
Well, and you do have a lot of other good shows. I mean, you have the restaurant show, mm-hmm. which is also done at the Javits Center once a year, and we have found some good stuff there. Now, that's pretty much for the trade only, because you need to buy things like, 100 pounds at a time.
Right.
But there's a lot of good stuff at the restaurant show, but it's the Fancy Food Show this year, and I will say we'll try it again next year, because in years past, we have found some good stuff there.
I'm not going again next year. You can't make me.
The Salem Baking Company, those Moravian cookies,
they were
great.
There
again.
Mm-hmm.
So those are done by a real – there is some real food there. But I think the idea is to look at all this stuff where it's brand over substance, where it's packaging mm-hmm. over what's inside. That's really sad for us to see. And we need to keep our eyes on, and we need to help you keep your ears on what's real in food and what's right. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. We've been talking about the Fancy Food Show in New York at the Javits Center this week, some of the things we liked about it and some of the directions we haven't really enjoyed it going.
And I think that part of what we didn't like about a lot of the things you saw at the Fancy Food Show are what we don't like about where food is going in general. And one of the reasons that hopefully you listen to this show is to talk about real food, real produce that comes out of the ground. Real food, you need to sort of make a little bit. And
right.
there's a lot of food that you can make fairly easily. And with Whole Foods and Wegmans and stores like that around and farmers markets, especially in this season.
But even in those stores, you're seeing a lot of marketing and you're seeing a lot of packaging.
Yes.
And their buyers are good. Their buyers are very good, but there's still some overpackaged, we'll call it.
But you products. And you as a consumer need to think, is this just a brand? Is this a cartoon? Am I an 11-year-old who's watching a cartoon and buying a cereal as a result of it?
Right.
Look at the cereal. Things to avoid. High fructose corn syrup is the sweetener in almost anything.
Right.
And high fructose corn syrup simply makes stuff that's not as tasty,
right.
in our opinion, sugar.
Just a good way to see if somebody's being a little bit more serious. If they're sweetening with sugar as opposed to high fructose corn syrup, you have a good idea that they're more serious about what they're doing.
Because it's 10 times
the price. Because it's more expensive and more difficult to do and better for you and better tasting.
And better for the planet. But if you look, and you'll shock yourself. When you're in the market, look in the ingredients of things and you see how few things are actually sweetened with sugar and how much is high fructose corn syrup. My favorite, product that I saw at the Fancy Food Show was the Lieutenant Blender's Frozen Concoctions. Lieutenant Blender, you got a bag of stuff that you put water in, put in your freezer, and then it becomes a frozen margarita.
Okay. You mean instead of putting ice in your blender and
making a margarita?
Making a margarita.
Okay, margarita. I'm sorry, you put water in it, and then you put tequila in it, and then you put triple sec in it. What is it? Dehydrated lime juice?
That's okay.
And
ready?
Fructose and sugar.
Margaritas. Frozen margarita. All the ingredients. Ice, lemon, lime, sugar, tequila.
Triple sec.
Triple sec or Cointreau.
You're done.
You're done.
Put it in the blender, goes zoom.
Put it in the blender, goes zoom.
Then you have your drink. Hey, it's just not that hard. Lemonade. Don't use Country Time lemonade. Don't
right.
with the high fructose corn syrup and whatever the heck else
it's
is in there.
It's really simple.
Lemons, sugar, water, shake it up. It's delicious.
Francis, one quick little amusing anecdote.
Yeah.
We have to share with people. When you're in the Fancy Food Show, what communism looks like is the Bulgarian aisle.
Oh, yeah. We got okay. All the European aisles were all great except for Bulgaria.
All flash
lonely,
and substance.
lonely, and Mark walked down the Bulgarian
Steel
aisle.
Steel beam holding up their
cans
signs.
Cans of teas. We spent another hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time's 12 noon.